We've got Renew classes. I better mention that starting up in January again. Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Please sign up. I believe there's information at the Information Center to tell you what day that's going to start up. I think there's an informational meeting first. And so, ladies, if you're interested in that Renew, that's a yoga-style fitness and well-being class that we offer that is surrounded with the Word of God. It is awesome what the ladies do. And if you want to be prayed for, if you want to get in good shape, and if you want to be around a bunch of women in the Word of God, I encourage you to sign up for that. It's going to be awesome, all right? Well, tonight we're going to start a new series that I am just excited to get into, and we titled it Limitless. Limitless. I really believe that God has great things for our future. How many believe that? You know, we're living in times where I think it's very hard sometimes to encourage ourselves. You know, it's very hard to encourage ourselves in the last days that we're living in. It just seems like everything is against us. And you know, the fact of the matter is, the devil is against us. Circumstances are contrary to the Word of God. But I believe that God wants to bless us more than we can possibly imagine. And as we're closing out 2013 and looking forward to 2014, I think it's important that all of us in this congregation stir one another up and stir up our faith to believe God, not only for great things individually, but great things as a congregation. You know, if not, we'll just continue to live life the same way we always have. But with God, we can live a limitless life. I think God has great things prepared for us, but sometimes I believe we limit God. The Bible even says in Psalm 78:41 that the children of Israel limited God. Limited God, and that was in the wilderness for 40 years. They limited God because they didn't trust Him, they didn't believe Him. They wanted to go back to Egypt. So many things that we still deal with in our minds once we come to the Lord. We just, one old hymn says that, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. You know, we draw away from God sometimes if we're not careful of it. But I think many times we limit God because our capacity to receive is not where it needs to be. And that's really what we're going to talk about is really expanding or enlarging our capacity to receive. The problem is not a supply problem. The problem is we need to increase our capacity or our container to hold the blessings of God, if you will. We need to enlarge our vision and reach for new things. Say new things. We need to believe that this coming year God is going to do new things in our lives. All right? We enlarge our capacity to receive by changing our thinking. And so we're going to be talking about changing our thinking. Instead of expecting this year to be a year of lack, we need to believe God for a year of increase, a year for His abundant blessings. And may I just declare that this year, 2014, we can start now in 2013, but let's not say things like, this is going to be a tough year. You know, it may look like it, but don't say that. Just don't say it. That is the worst way to start off a year. Oh, here comes another year. It's going to be tough this year. It was bad this year. I can't wait to see how bad it gets this next year. I don't think I'll meet my goals, whatever they may be. Maybe you feel like you're never going to get promoted. Maybe you feel like you're never going to get married. Maybe you feel like you're never going to get well. Maybe you feel like you're never going to be healed. Maybe you feel like you're never going to have enough. But don't say those things, all right? We need to stop saying things like that. And instead, it's a time for us to believe God for something far and beyond what we've ever expected. We need to believe God, if you will, for explosive blessings. We need to believe God to do great things in these last days. How many are on board with that? How many just want to see God do great things in our lives? But listen, He's only going to really move to the capacity that we're able to believe Him for. And you're going to see through Scripture that is absolutely the truth. We need to believe God for prosperity now. Say now. We need to believe God for more of everything that He wants to put into our lives. Some people will say, well, you know, Pastor, not everybody's called to have lots of money. No, but to those who manage it well, they are. That's the truth. God wants us to have more. Say more.
More.
And the way we manage what we have and the way we confess and the way that we believe really sets the tone for what God can do in our lives or enlarges our capacity, if you will. You should be believing God for a promotion. Believe God for a new job in 2014. But let me just say this. Stay faithful where you are. Stay faithful where you are. I've seen so many people, they want something different in their lives or they've got a problem in their lives that they won't deal with, but they wonder why God doesn't bring other blessings into their lives. Listen, you don't give car keys to a 3-year-old. Now do you? Sometimes you shouldn't give them to a 16-year-old. Or a 20-year-old, for that matter. But we all have to learn sometime, right? But believe God for a new job. Believe God to be debt-free And you may say, well, boy, that seems impossible. Listen, what's impossible for men is possible with God. Come on, somebody. What's impossible with men is possible with God. You need to believe God to be debt-free. You say, well, yeah, but I got myself into trouble. That's okay. God knows you got yourself into trouble. He didn't do it. So enlarge your thinking. Start to believe God for something new this year. Believe God for an increase in your influence. Believe God for a life that's limitless. Believe God to be able to dance in front of the church. Kevin? I'm picking on Kevin tonight. Ain't I terrible? But believe God to live a limitless life. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. We need to get a hold of that tonight and coming into 2014. Exceedingly, say that with me, exceedingly abundantly. Don't you just start to think different when you say that? Say it with faith. I encourage you. Everybody close your eyes, change your face, all right? Because you feel like I've said that before. But let's say it again. I'm going to have you open your eyes on three, and we're going to read that again together, this time with some excitement. One, two, three. Let's read it. Exceedingly abundantly. And believe God for a change, because he's able to do it. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I love that. I want to put verse 21 in there because it says for all generations. Of course, it's talking about the promises of God. And the thing is, the abundance, exceeding abundance that God wants to give to our lives is not just for us, but it's for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. And you and I need to believe God so that we can leave a legacy for the generations to come. It says in Matthew 9, 29, Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. According to your faith, let it be unto you. And the way that we grow our faith is by believing God's word, meditating on God's word, and allowing faith to just rise up and really enlarging our capacity for God to move. Psalm 81, verse 10. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You know, death and life are in the power of the what? Tongue. And so it said, look, I am the God who has brought you out of Egypt. Let me ask you, how many believers tonight do I have here? How many who have been set free by the power of Christ? How many accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? See, he is taking you out of a spiritual Egypt of bondage. And now he's saying, open up your mouth wide and I will fill it. Say, he will fill it. And we've got to encourage one another. I know we may sit here tonight and say, oh, pastor, I've done this before. I've felt like this before. I've said these things before. Well, don't quit. Don't quit until God brings something forth in your life that you're believing him for. And then don't quit their belief for something else. Hello. We need to encourage one another on our most holy faith. This year, don't believe God just to make your mortgage payment. Sometimes you say, I hope I can make my mortgage payment. Believe God to pay the thing off. Seriously. You know, Trish and I have a plan to be debt-free. We still owe on our mortgage. We believe we'll be completely debt-free in less than 10 years. That's our plan. Now, I think God's going to do something else because he continues to tell us to give more when we could put more even on the mortgage. We're already putting extra on it. But he continues to ask us to give more. And so I believe that by giving more, and I've got a plan, that God is going to do exceedingly, say abundantly, above what I can ask or imagine. See, God is working on our behalf. But we've got to believe, we've got to speak it, and then we've got to act. It tells us in James not to be only hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word. Because when we only hear the word and don't do it, the Bible says that we fool ourselves. You're fooling yourself if you don't believe it. Old Styx song. How many saw Styx this summer? Anybody see Styx this summer? Some of you went like this and pulled your hand. Who saw Styx? I don't know. I heard him. We were serving beer and wine in the beer tent, and I heard it kind of. You know, I kind of stuck my head out a couple of times, but we were just serving there to just be a blessing. Many of you went down there with us. But believe God for something great. Psalm 118, 25, it says, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. And start to confess things like that. Start to believe God. But again, believe God and stick with the plan you're on and stay faithful to it. But believe God for more than what your plan suggests. I mean, we need to be organized. The Bible says that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance comes from the Lord. You got to prepare your horse, but believe God for deliverance. Come on, somebody. I mean, we can't just believe God and do nothing. Believe God for an increase and sit on our fat butt all day and not go out and get a job. Listen, I've told people before, I've had people say, well, you know, Pastor, I need a job. I say, if you check McDonald's, well, that wouldn't be enough. Well, it's more than nothing. Because nothing ain't enough. Now, don't believe God to stay there unless you want to continue to move up and buy one of them suckers someday. That's all right. Maybe you want to manage it. Maybe you want to move up. That's fine. But believe God to move up. Wherever you are, listen carefully. God has a plan to promote you wherever you are more than you can possibly imagine. Sometimes it may take him getting out of the situation you're in, but he wants to promote you from where you are. Where you are. Trish and I have seen that happen so many times in our life as we believe God. And we stayed faithful to the things that God has called us to do and stayed 100% sold out to what we were supposed to be doing. And God has promoted us time and time again. Say, send now. Say, prosperity. And prosperity really is a way of life of not having any lack. Money is a part of that. And certainly we need money. Come on, somebody. You do. You need more money. I need more money. The church needs more money. But prosperity is just part of it. Prosperity is really being whole, being well, allowing God to meet every need in him. We'll look at some scriptures tonight. Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you what? The desires of your heart. I'm afraid that many Christians are not taking time to delight themselves in the Lord. We delight ourselves in so many different things. We see so many different things really get us off course. This is a Wednesday night group, so I've been praying about sharing this. I want to share it with you. Every year we see this happen. We've had a great year, by the way. Financially, it's been above what we projected, and we had a great year. Came in real good. But in December, our finances went as a church. Now, we save money. We're in good shape. We're good stewards of what God gives us. We're not going under. We're not begging for money. But it never ceases to amaze me. I'm talking the first week in December was the smallest offering we've taken in 4 years. Matter of fact, it was not even half of what we budget. Then it came up the next week to normal, and then the following week it was back down. Can someone say Christmas gifts? And you may think I'm wrong, but no, because we know people give regularly. You know, you're a regular crowd and probably send your money in when you're not here or bring it when you come the next time. But many people don't. Many people really just kind of give, and they think they're being spirit-led. And I just want to take a minute to talk about that with you. Well, I just put money in the plate. That is not being spirit-led. That is being flesh-led. Right? We get confused because the flesh wants something easy, not the spirit. Okay, the Spirit of God will challenge us in our flesh all the way around. That's why we say purpose in your heart. That's just forgiving. Purpose in your heart. Purpose in your heart, we're going to go to church. Purpose in my heart, I'm going to be part of a small group. Purpose in my heart, I'm going to be the best employee that my company has. Purpose in your heart to be the best at whatever God has called you to do. That's spirit living. That is spirit living. But the problem is so many Christians, again, this probably isn't you tonight, we don't delight ourselves in the Lord. We put God kind of in a convenience place. And that's why you can see sometimes at certain times of the year that finances can fluctuate a little bit because many people just kind of give what's left. We pay all our bills, we do this and that, and then we give God what's left over. The problem is when you live that way, you're really not budgeting, you're not planning, and when something like Christmas comes, well, how are we going to buy Christmas gifts? And so we do what we can, and there's nothing left over to give God. Do you understand? That is not the way we should live our lives. Again, I just want to throw that in there because it's important. And it's not just about money, but I'm going to tell you something, and I believe this with all my heart because the Lord has taught us this time and again, and we see it all through Scripture. In our own lives, people who have mentored us, it's true that if your money really is a reflection of your spiritual walk. Now, you can give without loving, without showing mercy. Matter of fact, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and said, you tithe of mint and rue, yet you forget to show mercy. And that's wrong. But Jesus said you should have done the first as well, which was tithing and giving, all right? So it's good to give tithes and things like that. But if we're legalistic about it, that is really not a way to give. We should be giving, purposing in our heart. That's why, you know, don't do a tithe for $13.87 and a half cents. I'm serious. I mean, just go $14, for goodness sake. What do you, you know, and when we think that way, please stay with me on this. Stay with me. When we think that way, we really don't believe that God is providing for us. That's just money. But it'll help us in really the whole area of faith. If we can't believe God with our money, we can't believe him for anything. That's the truth. Because you need money to exist. Don't you? Don't you need money to buy food? All right. Diapers. Depends. Don't point at me like that. All right. So delight yourself in the Lord. And if we delight ourselves in the Lord, listen, if you put God first, I'm telling you, come 2014, if there's some areas you're not putting God first, start. Start tonight. Make a decision tonight. I'm going to put God first in 2014. And I'm going to guarantee you, your life is going to change. Are you going to have some obstacles? Yes. Are you going to have some challenges? Yes. But listen, stay with me. You're going to have them anyway. Okay? You're going to have them anyway. The devil attacks, absolutely. But sometimes we think it's the devil, and really it's just stuff. Things happen. But stay faithful to God, because he'll stay faithful to you. Psalm 65, 11, it says, you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. So let me, if the paths of God drip with abundance, why would I want to get out of his path? Come on. Wouldn't I want to be following as closely behind as I could so that I could be in what's dripping from the presence of God? So that I can have his abundance, so that I can walk in the abundance God has planned for me. Is it hard to read those scriptures? I saw someone, oh, that looks good to me. I saw someone squinting at it. That was a new slide today. You and I have got to change the way we think. Say, I will change the way I think. Mark 2:22. Jesus said, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskin. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. See, you can't just start changing things until you allow God to change you from the inside. You and I have got to start to think differently in 2014. We have got to challenge ourselves, even in the midst of trying times, even in the midst of potential lack. Even in the midst where it looks like things are going down, we got to believe God for more and really start to change the way we think so that he can start to deposit the kingdom of heaven into us and get it through us. You and I cannot go around thinking mediocre thoughts and expect abundance, all right? We have to have new thinking. Say new thinking. You cannot live the Christian life and walk in victory if you are thinking mediocre or substandard thoughts. Is anybody with me tonight? You can't do it. It's impossible. Does God love you? Yes. Will you go to heaven? Maybe. I say that because I don't know. I don't know if you're going to heaven. I hope you are. Had someone call me not too long ago and hadn't talked to him in years. Hadn't seen him since high school, 35 years. That'll scare you when you start to talk like that. You're like, whoa. It's true, Andy, 35 years, yeah, high school. Yeah. So 30, not quite as long for you, you're a little younger, but 35 years. And he said, I've been watching you on your website up there in Traverse City. I need what you've got, he says. And it was kind of, and you got to understand, when I was growing up, I was like, I would have been voted the least likely to be a pastor. There's no way. There's no way. People, it's like if your friends could see you now, you know, kind of thing. And he's calling me up. He knows I'm a pastor. He's been on the website. He needs prayer. That's why he's called me. And he's like, bloopity bloop bloop, F this, F that, GD that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you talk just like we were still in high school. But I talked, and, you know, he's going through some rough times right now. And I said, what you really need, I mean, I want to pray for what you're going through, but what you really need is Jesus. You really need to be born again. And he was brought up, and again, I'm not slamming a particular faith. He was brought up in a particular faith where his response was, and this is very common with many religious institutions, is he said, well, I'm trying. And I said, well, man, you need to stop trying. You need to just receive it. You need to receive it. Listen, you just got to believe that God wants to do something great in your life. And so I prayed with him. And the thing is, you and I cannot think below the standard of God. In any area. That's the point I'm trying to make. We can't think, you know, if the Bible says that we can only come to the Father through Jesus Christ, then that's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. That's it. Bottom line, we've got to believe that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, that we're born again. We have to believe that, regardless of what it seems like. We can't try it. We can't keep working at it. We've got to believe it. And we need to continue to increase our faith. We need to continue to enlarge our capacity. But we can't think mediocre or substandard thoughts and expect good things from God. We have to have new thinking. You and I must have a bigger vision for our lives. We need to believe that we are not only as a church, but individually going to reach more people than we ever possibly could have, because God is going to blow his winds of change into this ministry. I believe 2014 is going to be just a powerful, powerful time for this church. I really do. Not just this church. I think God is moving all across, around the world, wherever the hearts of men and women are turned towards him. But I certainly think in this church, God has really taken us through a time of refinement. Actually, we've had several refining times where God is just, because here's the thing. God is raising up a people who really want to live for him, who really, really hunger for him, who really delight in him. Because I'm going to tell you something, in the days that are coming, it's not going to be enough to just go to church once or twice every couple of months. We need to be the church and to rise up. And the only way we can become the church is to start to live this way, to believe God for more, to stop thinking mediocre thoughts, to start believing God for increase and start being plugged into whatever. No one raised their hand, so you're all regulars. Plug into this church. Believe God. Now, we don't want you so busy that you can't live life. That's not what I'm suggesting. But be involved. Pray. Support the ministry. Come to church. Take notes. Increase your capacity for believing God with us. And let's move forward. Don't let circumstances dictate what God can or cannot do in your life. Don't let your mind talk you out of it, all right? Because it will. Don't listen to your mind. Sometimes you just got to shut that thing off, you know? Shut it off. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and when you start to think things that are contrary to the Word of God, when you start to read something in the Word of God that says that God wants to do something exceedingly abundantly in your life, and you think that is not possible, that is your brain. Tell it to shut up. You have to. You have to. It's like David said in Psalm 42 and 44. Both, it says, why are you, what's the word? Why are you disquieted? Why, my soul, why are you... Cast down. Is that the word? Yeah. Cast down on my soul. We're not going to turn there. You can turn on your own. But Psalm 42, and all through 43 and 44, all three of those psalms say that. But you got to talk to your mind. Your soul is contrary to the things of God. But you got to believe God that no matter what your circumstance is, that God is still in control. Don't get off the path. Whatever you have made and determined your mind to do, according to the Word of God, don't stop. Don't quit now. I believe we are so close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not even funny. And if that scares us or challenges us, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry that it challenges us. I'm sorry if it scares us. It shouldn't, though. Jesus said, when you see these things, look up. And again, we're researching. We're going to start a series sometime in the next year, really talking about some prophetic teachings. There is so much prophecy coming to pass right now. It's just ridiculous. 2 Kings 4. I want to turn here. Let me give you a little bit of a background before we read this. I want to look at a woman, and this is Elisha and the woman with the oil, and how God increases her, increasing oil in her house. And we're going to read a portion of this scripture, and we're going to learn some things about this, because listen, God wants to bring increase into our lives just the way he did for this woman. It may look like you don't have enough to get out of your situation, but God is doing great things for you. 2 Kings 4. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves. This is pretty bad, all right? Her husband has died. Just as we've read here, her two sons are going to be taken as slaves in payment for the debt that she has. So you may have some debt. I don't think they're going to come to take your sons and daughters. They can't do that. That's against the law. They could then, all right? They can't. Don't worry. Some of you are saying, please, push the muzzle. Okay, verse 2. So, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Okay, verse 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house, he says. What do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Let me just stop there a minute. First of all, it's got to start with whatever you have. It can't stop there because what you have is not enough. But it's got to start with what you have. And then God is going to build on that. If you're not willing to give God what you have, then God can't build on anything. And you see this throughout Scripture. It has to start somewhere. But listen what he says. And she said, you have nothing, verse 3. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. So he says, what do you have in your house? This is what I have. Maybe God has given you a specific talent. Maybe God has done something in your life. And now he's saying, now I want you to take whatever that gifting is, whatever that way of thinking is, wherever I've planted you, and I want you to start to look around for other areas where I can connect you in that same area. Stay with me. But you got to start with where you are. You got to start with what you have and then start looking outside of what you have, because the increase is going to come from outside of your house. He says, don't gather just a few, verse 4. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Listen, you and I cannot shortchange ourselves. We have got to look outside of our circumstance and make room, for abundance. So we got to start with where we are, honor God with that, but then start to look outside of our situation. If you want to increase your capacity for God to move in your life, you have got to look outside of where you are. But you have to honor him where you are. Does that make sense to you tonight? Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel, so the oil ceased. I want you to get a hold of that. When did the oil cease? When there were no more vessels. No more vessels. Let me ask you tonight, do you have bring me another vessel faith? Do you have the kind of faith she did? She kept bringing them. Bring me another one. They didn't have any more. She said, bring me another one. Maybe you think God's done moving in your life. You need to have the kind of tenacity she did and say, bring me another one. And believe God for more of an increase. Verse 7, it says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Look at what God does. God works a miracle here that not only brings it enough for her to sell and be debt-free so that her sons can stay home with her, but there's enough for them to live on. You and your sons live on the rest. Now, I don't know how much that was, and the Bible doesn't tell us. But it had to be a substantial amount. She said, you can live on the rest. You can live on the rest. So not only does God want to pay your debt, God wants you to be able to live on whatever he's going to do in your life, and it's going to come through enlarging your capacity and asking God to bring more vessels, increasing your faith. God not only wants enough to meet your needs, but to increase and to bring abundance into your life. You and I need to determine the size of container that we give God to fill. I believe that is so true. And here's the question, what kind of vision do you have for your life? Are you just kind of going, doing things as usual, just getting by? I remember there was a job I had some years ago. I worked for a major supermarket downstate. And one of the things that we did, it was an upper management kind of a position, and we would go in, and there were departments and supermarkets that weren't profitable, weren't really running as good as they could. And so we'd go in, and you kind of take a look at how things are being run day to day, whether it's a bakery or a deli or a meat department or whatever. You go in and kind of look at the waste and all the different things where they could clean it up. And I'm going to tell you, it, without fail, every single one of them that were not being as productive as they could, you would hear something like this. You'd say, well, why do you do that way? Well, we've always done it that way. You would hear that. Andy knows. He had a human resources business. You hear things like that all the time. Now, there's things that we get into. We just kind of get set in our ways. If you want to live a life that is limitless, you cannot allow yourself to get set in your ways. You can't do that. You can't say, well, we've just always had that. You may be in a circumstance, you say, well, it's just always been this way. Well, stop. Change it. Believe God. Take the vessel that you have and start to believe him for more. I don't care what your challenge is. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's relational. I don't care if it's health. It doesn't matter what it is. Start to believe God for his promises, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Believe God to do exceedingly abundantly. You know, one of his names is El Shaddai, which means the God of more than enough. I like what Joyce Meyer says. She says, God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. You ever hear her say that? He's not. God is not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. So you and I as Christians, oh, please listen to me tonight. We cannot have an El Cheapo mentality with God. Because then you're just going to keep living off that vessel that you have that's empty. You got to believe God for an increase. We have got to believe God for an increase. Every year we set our budget here at the church. And we always believe God for more. Always. Last year, we got more. Year before, we got more. This year, we get more. I don't care what happens in December. That you know, doesn't matter because, listen, the Word of God is going to prosper this ministry. The Word of God is going to prosper me and Trish individually. The Word of God is going to prosper you if you choose to live a life without limits. Let me just say this tonight. One person or one event could change your life forever. It's the truth. It's the truth. One person that sees you and likes you, loves you, likes what you're doing, wants to get behind you, can change your future. Can change your future. It could be a job. It could be someone who wants to invest in what you're doing. It could be any number of things. One person could change your life. The favor of God will bring an increase into your life. You've got to believe God for favor. We've got to believe God for favor. We can't just accept things for the way they are. So many times we're living life, reminds me of a story of a fisherman who was out fishing, and he's standing there, and he's casting, and he's fishing. He sees someone else just downstream, and he's fishing. And he's watching him kind of throughout the day, and he notices that every time he gets a big fish, he lets it go, but he keeps the small fish. And this goes on for hours. They're fishing. He gets a big fish, lets it go. Small fish, he keeps it. So towards the end of the day, he kind of walks downstream. He says, he hooks up with him and says, hey, I wanted to talk with you. I noticed all day we've been fishing here, and you catch a big fish, you let it go. You catch a small fish, and you keep it. He said, why? And he says, oh, well, that's simple. I only have a 10-inch fry pan. It's true. But how often do we live that way? Go buy a bigger fry pan and catch some big fish. I mean, come on. I mean, really. But it's just the way we've always done it. Well, you know, we've never had enough. It reminds me of Gideon. We're not going to turn there, but he says, well, you know, I'm the least. My tribe is the least of all the tribes in Israel. And of that tribe, my family's the least. And of the family, I'm the least likely to succeed. Listen, you got to just tell yourself to shut up when you think that way. I don't care what your personal history is. God can change it. God can change it in a minute, in a second. We can't have a we've always done it this way mentality. Psalm 89:17. It says, you are their strength. What glory! Our power is based on your favor. God is bringing favor into your life to expand the kingdom of God and bring glory into your life. All it takes is one touch of God's favor to change your future. Psalm 35, for his anger is but for a moment, but what? His favor, say favor, is for life. And listen, about God's anger, it was already taken care of at Calvary's cross. All of God's anger was poured out on Jesus Christ. That's why his anger is only for a moment. Remember, Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? But his favor, say favor, is for life. God's grace, God's favor, God's increase, God's potential to increase in your life. But you and I have got to challenge ourselves to start thinking bigger thoughts. Deuteronomy 8:7. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and we're going to have to dismiss. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land that of brooks and water, of fountains and springs, that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. When you see right, I'm telling you, this is a land that is fruitful, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey, wheat, barley, This is just a sign of prosperity. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Say nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, God not only wants you to eat, but he wants you full. Come on, somebody. He says, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. God's desire is to bring you and I into abundance. It blesses him to bless us. It blesses God to bless us. Say this. Say, it blesses God to bless me. Look at somebody and say, it blesses God to bless you. My goodness. God just takes delight in blessing and favoring his children. You see it time and time again. He wants us to be full and overflowing, living a life without scarcity, to be a blessing to others. In Deuteronomy 8:18, he says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now, we're going to continue this in a couple of weeks after we get through Christmas. But the thing is, and we're not going to turn there tonight, but Jesus said in Luke 6, he says, out of the treasure of your heart is what your mouth speaks. You and I have got to delight in the Lord. We have got to put our time, our treasure, our talents into the kingdom of heaven and then start speaking the things of the words of God to be able to enlarge our capacity. What's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is what you produce. If we think and speak lack, that's what we get. If we think and speak abundant, that's what we'll have. Regardless of your current state of affairs, whatever you think and speak is what you have. Whatever you think and speak is what you have. You may say, well, things don't look so good. That's okay. Don't enforce it. Don't enforce if things don't look good. Get a hold of the promise of God. We gave you scriptures tonight that you could believe for just about anything. Say, God, I thank you in 2014, you're bringing me into a land without scarcity, in a land there's nothing but increase, in a land where I can eat and be full, in a land where I can bless the Lord my God, in a land where you're giving me the power to get wealth, to establish your covenant, and start to believe God for great things. And listen, if you do nothing but start to speak differently into this year and continue to stick with it, I guarantee you the blessings of God are going to flow. And you may be saying, well, Pastor, not in our situation. Oh, stop it. Don't think that way. Start to change your thinking. Abundance is a state of living, not an amount of goods. Thankful, content living leads to the abundant life. And we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks when we continue this. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that as we have heard the words of the Lord, that you bring encouragement, that you bring strength, that you bring peace, that you bring prosperity, and you bring it now. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, and may you be encouraged with times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Not only tonight, but all the days of your life. Your children will call you blessed. The Spirit of God is being poured out on your offspring, his blessings upon your children. The Lord is a shade upon your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night, but the Lord will be your keeper. He will be your rear guard. He'll protect you. He'll fight for you. He'll deliver you. He'll set your feet upon a rock. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, come on out this Sunday. Celebrate Christmas with us. We're looking forward to Sunday and Tuesday. It's going to be a great time of celebration. And let's join together and celebrate the birth of Jesus. All right. That's all we have tonight. Some more announcements. Check those out. And we'll see you. God bless you. Have a great night.